Familiar Strains of Scheherazade, piece by Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov, played there for us by the Royal Concertgebouw Orchestra, conducted by Ricardo Chailly. And we play that in honor of and to get a context for a program that's going to be happening at the Fox Theater in downtown Spokane this coming Thursday at 7:30. But the actual stage performance starts at 6 at 7:30. However, beginning at 7:30, there are all kinds of things going on as well. The program is called Scheherazade, and it is a North American premiere of a program of a piece that's been around for a while, a treatment, shall we say, of Scheherazade. I have in studio with me this morning four of erstwhile members of the community of Eastern Washington University, two of whom are students, Matt Henson and James Marshall, two of whom are teachers, Jody Graves and John Marshall. Welcome, everybody.
Thank you, Jim.
I think we're going to start with Jody, because you're going to give us kind of the big picture on this, because what happens on stage is kind of the central component of this, but that's not by a long shot what it's all about.
That's right. This is a gala concert celebration of the entire music program, with the sort of the center point being this wonderful piece, Scheherazade, which I'll let my colleagues talk about. But the event itself starts at 6:30 in the lobby with a pre-concert sort of array of wonderful pieces. You'll hear some singers. You'll hear one of our little jazz vocal groups on the staircase. We'll have some jazz quartet in the back. We'll have a tango. I mean, it's going to be quite exciting. Well, you can wander in and have a little snack, maybe a glass of wine or coffee. And then there's a little pre-concert talk at 7:15 in the actual theater. The program itself starts at 7:30. And what we're doing is highlighting and featuring every aspect of our wonderful program, which is the focus of these wonderful students. So the first half, we'll have duos and solos, and you'll hear from every aspect from percussion to solo piano to a wonderful piano quartet performing an original tango written for this evening. It's quite good, actually. So you'll hear everything from Led Zeppelin to Gershwin and beyond on this program on Thursday night. So it's very exciting.
Very cool range. And, of course, the pre-concert performances will be happening at various places in the Fox, outside of the main theater.
Correct.
In the Founders Gallery and the Portrait Gallery, and as I understand, on the stairs even.
On the stairs, that's right. Everywhere you turn, there's going to be music and fun, and it'll just be really featuring these wonderful students who are so incredibly talented, and the dedicated faculty who work with them.
Very festive affair, a real sense of festival about this. The main event, though, is this piece called Scheherazade, which we're going to examine, hold it up to the light and examine various facets of it. It is a piece that's been around for a while, but this is the first time it's been done in North America. And let's see, John, I think that you're the conductor of this, and you actually are the one who discovered, put that in heavy quotes, but you're the one who discovered the piece. Tell us a little about that.
Well, I can't claim that I discovered the piece. I will let that be to my wife, Lynn, who, when she was a student at Juilliard, was handed a bootleg cassette copy of Scheherazade. And it was kind of making the rounds amongst the students. They were listening to it. They thought it was just the coolest, wildest thing. But they couldn't find any music for it. And as far as we know, the transcription does not exist. So it's something we've just had in the back of our minds. She still has that cassette. She's held it for years, for decades, played it for James. And so every once in a while, I would Google Scheherazade just to see what comes up. And last year, I found out that a group at the University of Bern had made a transcription from the LP and had performed it.
So that was the first time in many, many, many years since the 1950s.
It was never performed live. They only recorded it in the studio. So when they did record it, that was where it stayed in the recording studio, but never played it live.
And we should mention that it was the brainchild originally of an American band leader by the name of Skip Martin.
Correct.
Whose name doesn't mean a whole lot to me. And I don't know if I don't see any Skip Martin fans rising up right about now.
I think Matt knows more about Skip.
Okay, and let's turn to Matt Henson, who, along with James Marshall, had the exciting, if not exactly enviable, task of taking a transcription and just making it work for the forces who will be playing it this coming Thursday. So how did you first get hooked up with the project?
Well, I'm actually a jazz intern for our jazz director out there, Jenny Kellogg. And when we first got this transcription, we originally started to we started to play through it in our rehearsals. And we're like, okay, well, there's some issues. There's some things missing, maybe some wrong rhythms here and there, but nothing we can't, you know, fix with a couple pencil marks. And eventually we started getting a little deeper and a little deeper, and we realized pencil marks aren't going to fix this. And so I volunteered to do the task of thinking, you know, in my personal goals, I was like, I want to write a jazz philharmonic piece one day. I was like, this would be really cool. Well, there's no better way to learn how to do it than do score study. And even if it's with a really bad score, which this unfortunately ended up being, this is the ultimate task for me to get better at what I'd like to do. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to try to make this better. You know, I want to make sure this concert goes pretty well. And
well, first of all, tell us, when you talk about this score that you got, are we talking about kind of a standard orchestral score, or was it closer to, since there are jazz players involved, was it closer to lead sheets, or what did you have to work with originally?
It was definitely in the style of an orchestral score. Just the visual of it, you have the orchestra up above and then the jazz band also below it as well. So it's really an orchestra score with the jazz band just added at the bottom with parts and everything. So there were no lead sheets per se, but there are some written parts and some improvised solos throughout the piece, definitely towards the fourth movement, which I guess we just heard.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of actual written out melodies and themes, and a lot of ideas and melodies in the style of Skip Martin, but also in the style of Rimsky-Korsakov.
Now, just in the most general terms, to try to get an idea of the structure of this, does it follow the scenario, if you will? Does it follow the plot line of the Rimsky piece? Or does it follow the music of the Rimsky piece? If so, how closely?
Surprisingly, in the first to the third movement, it sticks fairly close to the original in terms of structure of how the original piece goes down. In the fourth movement, however, we were actually just talking about this, it completely takes a different turn at the very end. The finale is much more of, I think in Dr. Marshall's words, a party rather than a final statement from Scheherazade, the character. But in general, it does stick very close to the original timeline of Rimsky-Korsakov's piece.
Okay. And James, your piece in this was to kind of translate it for string players in a way.
Yeah. So we went, the original transcription that we received was missing or just had wrong articulations, bowings for not only the strings, but all of the orchestral parts, almost as if they hadn't looked at the original Scheherazade when they did the transcription, because a lot of the non-jazz parts are just exactly the same as Scheherazade.
Mm-hmm.
And so we should be just doing exactly what Rimsky-Korsakov himself wrote. So what I did was I sat with Matt. We basically went through pretty much every note in the score and just added all the articulation marks and the bowings. And then during the jazz parts, I made sure that the string parts would work how Matt had transcribed them from the recording.
So this, again, in trying to get a handle on the concept of the piece, you have on stage simultaneously for the entire duration of the piece, orchestra and jazz ensemble or ensembles?
Yes.
Correct. Yeah, it's an orchestra and jazz ensemble. And I would even say in the first movement, they really start off by alternating, going between the original Scheherazade, and then the jazz band takes over and plays clips of Schehera jazz. But as the whole piece continues, they get more and more integrated, the two components, till by the end, at the very end, they're really playing together in this jazzed-up version of Scheherazade.
Mm-hmm. Now, when the jazz band does diverge from the orchestra and take its solo bit, is it a treatment of Rimsky ideas, or is it original stuff that the composer came up with?
I think it's definitely a treatment of Rimsky ideas, and it allows the players, like when there's improvised solos, to then depart temporarily from the original piece and create their own ideas. But mm-hmm. it mostly sticks with the original, just variations on Rimsky's ideas mm-hmm. in the piece.
Now, throughout the Rimsky original, of course, it's the voice of the violin that ties the whole thing together, that is the voice of the storyteller. Does that happen? Well, obviously, if it's mainly the Rimsky score, that does happen. This might be a good time to bring in the fact that the solos are going to be played on a very special instrument, as I understand. Who'd like to take that one?
We are really excited about this aspect of this concert because we have an alum who owns this beautiful Deliesu Guarnieri violin, and that's being loaned to us for this concert. So when you come and hear this great evening of music, you will get also the chance to hear this amazing instrument. There's only about, I don't know how many are left in the world. Do you know how many are left in those of the Guarnieri's?
I think there are about 30 violins or so.
Sort left from mm-hmm. in the world, yeah. And this is one of them. And it's quite stunning. So we're excited to be able to feature that. Our concert master will be, of course, performing.
It's such an amazing concept and such a special occasion because of its being, I mean, literally a North American premiere of a piece that has been, so this will be like only the second actual performance of the piece that's taken place?
Yeah, that's correct. The only other performance was
in Switzerland.
In Switzerland in 2016. That mm-hmm. was the first live performance. Okay. This will be the second.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Something truly special. Now, are there spots in the piece that kind of blow you away? Are there any spots where you go, whoa, how did he come up with that?
Just one spot that comes to mind is the beginning of the third movement. It's the original idea with the strings, but then it captures the Hollywood string sound when the rhythm section of the jazz band joins in with the strings and melody. And it's one of those moments that really makes the piece for me where it's like, wow, I don't know how you can really make such a classical idea and a jazz band combine so well and make such a beautiful, beautiful sound. It's one of my favorite sections.
Now, at that point, he doesn't do any rewriting of the string parts. I mean, they are the original parts. You said it had kind of the Hollywood string sound to it, which I think everybody who's ever seen a movie will have a connection with that, understand mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
But was this something that was added, or did he just find a way to do that with the original parts?
If I remember right, this is just basically, I think the piece was in 6/8 at that moment, and he just changed it to 4/4 and made it swing a little bit.
Mm.
I think that's about the only variation that he really did.
And the melody stays the same, but it's very, the feel just completely changes. So the melody is exactly the same, mm-hmm. but it's, instead of being this kind of lilting 6/8, then it changes to this very lush Hollywood string sound, which is quite ingenious. And you don't see it coming, and suddenly it just kind of arrives, and it's a very interesting moment in the piece.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It definitely feels like you're watching an old movie for half a second. And you're like, oh, this looks like I could be watching Casablanca right now.
There we go.
He turns it into a shuffle.
that's really amazing. What 1001 things that you can do with Rimsky-Korsakov on a cloudy afternoon. And we're so glad that Skip Martin decided to do that. It's one of those interesting pieces that has a real kind of historical significance too, because it's not unique in that way. Certainly, Duke Ellington was not bashful about taking classical scores like Nutcracker and making them into his own, or even locally, William Berry's Nutcracker's Sweet Dreams is another example of the same thing. So this sounds like it's going to be just a wonderful, wonderful evening.
Yeah. Someone described it as a great mashup before mashups were popular.
There we go. And what's going to be happening is a real festival atmosphere in which the culmination is the performance of Skip Martin's Shahara Jazz by lots of forces. How many people are on stage when you get
between the symphony and the jazz ensemble? It'll be about 70 players.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So a nice full stage down there at the Fox. And beforehand, starting at 6:30, some fine music by just all kinds of different musicians.
Yeah, of the students.
Right.
And I would add, if any of the listeners would like to go hear Shahara Jazz, you can go on YouTube and listen to it. But I know we had our first combined rehearsal last week, and being there in person, it turned it into such a more dynamic and three-dimensional sound than what you would ever hear on the LP recording.
There we go. There we go. So live is always better than Memorex or vinyl or anything.
And I think it's especially exciting that this is the first time this is being performed in North America. Mm-hmm. It would be great to see the place filled.
Oh, absolutely.
We would love to see the place filled.
That's it's a lovely space for it, and to have it full of folks makes it even more lovely.
And tickets are available right at the Fox Theater, either calling the box office or going online.
Okay, 624-1200, if I'm not mistaken about that one. The program is called Shahara Jazz. It's a North American premiere, and it's a collaboration celebrating EWU's music students and faculty. A good time will be had by all on all kinds of different levels for all kinds of different tastes, and it'll be an evening to remember. Well, thank you so much, Matt Henson and James Marshall, John Marshall, and Jody Graves, for coming by this morning. You gave us a good insight into this program, and hope that we see lots of our listeners there for it.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you so
thank
much.
You.
All right.
Yeah.